Good morning, Orlando. This is Deborah Roberts, and you are listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio 102.5 WFLA. Now in studio, your host, local real estate expert, and my friend, Laura Peterson.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Memorial Day weekend and all that kind of good stuff.
That's right.
So welcome. With me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome, Danielle.
Hi, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or will buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how this works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So we've got a lot of good stuff to talk about today, and it's supposed to rain all weekend, which I know everybody's like really happy about all of that. So I thought that we would talk about high resale value projects you can tackle in a weekend.
There you go.
So if you've got to be inside, you might as well do something productive.
Yep.
Or if you don't want to do anything productive, and that's great too. That's sometimes what the weekend is for. I believe in that big time. But if you do want to do something, then we've got a few suggestions for you today. And the first one would be to repaint your kitchen cabinets. And that's something that is definitely in, you know, it's like everything goes in cycles where they want the bare wood and the varnishes and all that kind of stuff. But in today's market, everybody wants the white cabinets. And so painted is in.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of gray painted cabinets that are in right now and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I even saw over last weekend, I was showing a house and they painted the cabinets teal.
Was it a dark teal or?
It was like a sea teal. I've never even seen the color, but it was actually pretty nice. It was a little overpowering like when you first walked in.
Uh-huh.
But as you were walking through the kitchen and the cabinets and the hardware and everything kind of all came together. And there was another one that I saw, it was like a royal blue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to each its own, I mean, you know, but it carried it nice. But yeah, I mean, you can paint them as long as it's the wood cabinets. I mean, go ahead and knock yourself out. I mean, the worst case come, if you don't like it, you can always repaint it again.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, so white's in now, but we're heading into those other colors.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, what the scoop is. But again, if you're going to keep it for yourself, you know, whatever you want to do is great.
Yeah.
But you might want to tone it down a little and keep it to the whites and grays and that kind of stuff if you want to sell it. Unless, of course, you're a designer and then you know what you're doing better than we do. So the second thing is, make the eye go up with crown molding. And crown molding is always something that is always looks great in a house. It always does give you that finished look and everything. And it's not that hard to put up.
Mm-mm.
And so that's another thing that you could do is you could go ahead and put crown molding in there. And you know, sometimes, most of the time, the bigger the better, the bigger piece of crown molding.
Yeah.
And some people do multiple pieces, so you put in the one in the corner and then you put another edge on the bottom of it, and it just really does dress up the walls and dress up the space and everything like that. And I've seen people do it with wallpaper and that doesn't look near as good as the actual crown molding.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go wrong with that. And the next one might be something that you don't want to do if it's raining, and that's boost your curb appeal. And that would, so that's something that you might not want to do. So, you know, obviously we're always talking about that you can put in mulch or you can put in annuals and flowers that are going to be going out there. It just always makes you feel happy when you pull up. But if it's raining outside, might not be the thing to do today. And next on our list is to beautify the bathrooms. And you can do that by just updating the lighting fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty simple thing to do. You can, again, paint the cabinets if you wanted to do that, or you could do something on that realm, change the hardware or change the countertops. And if you're really aggressive, you could go ahead and do the tile.
There you go.
And all that, but that's definitely a big job, and I would need to hire somebody to do that. And another one that you can do is, you know, get out with the real old. And that might be that your house has some dated stuff. And it's really amazing how things do end up looking dated. You know, it's like you don't think that a house that's like 5 years old would look dated. A 100-year-old house does not look as dated as sometimes a 5-year-old house does. And it's really amazing how everything goes in cycles and goes like that, that it like really can look dated. So it could be just changing out a light fixture. Could
be ceiling fan.
Yep.
I mean, there's a few things that you can do. Plus, with it being, you know, Memorial Day tomorrow, they've got so many sales going on, like at all the you know, the Home Depot. Yeah,
stores.
The big box stores. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, name it and they've got it going on. I mean, I was even looking at a bathroom vanity that's on sale for like $200.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling my husband, well, it's a great time to do it because it's going to be raining all weekend. So my first project today when we're done here is I actually plan on painting my door on the inside. And then I told him we're going to maybe change the cabinet out because I don't like the cabinet in my son's bathroom. And then mine I got to do, but that's going to be another day. But you never know. But might as well take advantage of the sales and the rainy weather.
So there you go. So you're going to be ambitious today. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio, WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. So the other thing is that, you know, people are always wondering, you know, like what's going on with the market and all of those kinds of things. And this really is a great time in the market. You know, as we always talk about, the market's very consistent for the most part. However, there are great opportunities, you know, right now because the schools are all done or close to being done for the ones that aren't. I know, you know, there might be a couple of schools with makeup days from the hurricane.
Yeah. Well, Orange County still is in effect. I believe my son goes till Wednesday, but Friday was the last day for Osceola, Seminole, and I think maybe Volusia.
Yeah. So the schools are all winding up. So what that means is that if people want to move and get settled before the next school year, this is the perfect time to move. So you do have a slight spike during the next couple of months. So it's a great time to sell your house if you're looking for it. And if you are looking to purchase a house, it's a great time to move so that when that school year gets started, you know, everything's all clean and green and you're ready to go. And so if you do want to get that done, it's better to start now rather than a month from now, because once you find the house, you actually have to wait a period of time usually to get it closed. You know, if somebody's living there now, they need time to move, as well as if you're getting a loan, then it takes some time for you to get those going. Things all settled and everything as well. So it's a great time to do it. You definitely, you know, want to get on the stick instead of waiting until the last minute. There's a huge difference, which anybody that's gone through buying a house, between buying a house and rentals. I mean, when people are buying a house, they are usually planning quite a bit further in advance, like at least, you know, a couple of months or so, probably 3 or 4 months is what you have to have to actually get that house. But if you're looking at just going ahead and getting a rental, I mean, people wait until the day before they have to move in to get a rental. It's always amazing, you know, because it's like, you know, when you have a rental property, and that's why they go so quickly, because when you put it on the market and somebody calls you and you're like, well, when do you need to move in? And they're like, tomorrow. And you're like thinking, really? You know, you waited until tomorrow. But that's because I haven't rented for so long that I don't realize it. But that's just kind of the nature of the beast. You know, there's always something out there. You know that you're going to be able to find what you want, and there's no reason to plan in advance really for it. And so most of the time, renters don't. They just go ahead and do it. And the interesting thing is that when people are moving here from out of town and they've owned a house out of town, but they're not ready to buy here yet because they don't know all the neighborhoods and want to see if they just don't want to buy without really knowing where they're going and want to test it out a little while. So they figure they'll rent. They want to rent 2 months in advance, and they don't understand when a homeowner isn't going to go ahead and hold the house for 2 months for them. So it's just two completely different mindsets when you're going to come to renting a house or you're going to come to purchasing a house in the amount of time that you need to do it. And it's always very interesting to me to find that out. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So next, we're going to talk about, really, that it's National Moving Month. I don't know if you knew that, but it's National Moving Month, and I'm not sure if that's May, because if it is, we're a little late in the month to be talking about what's going on. But these are 7 tips for a stress-free move, and this doesn't matter if it's National Moving Month or not. But
yeah,
it's a great—
just to use it in general, right?
Just to use it in general. And so the first thing it says to group items together. And I think that that's really a good tip, is to actually put everything together, you know, so that it's like, obviously the kitchen things are in the kitchen.
Yep.
You know, the bathroom things are in the bathroom, or just, you know, clothes or bedrooms or whatever. But it's like, if you actually, I mean, I find that labeling the things the best, the way that you want them to come back in, makes it so much easier too. Because what happens when you're moving is that whether it's like you hire a company or whether you have friends and buy them pizza, you know, depending on however you move, you're not going to be able to be all places at all times. Mm-mm. When you do that.
Nope.
So you have to have it organized to the point where you can tell a lot of people quickly, you know, what to do, and you don't spend ages trying to figure out what happened or where's this one thing that you need that you can't find. So organizing at the front is obviously the best thing to do. And I've always heard you can either organize or agonize. And I think that that's definitely what comes into play there. So the second thing is it talks about decluttering. And I think that that's really important, because, you know, it's so easy when we're living in the same place that you can just say, oh, I'll put this in a drawer, or put it in a cabinet or a closet or something, and say, I'll get to it later. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, later never comes. But again, nope. It's probably raining right now. So when it's raining, then you might as well go through a box at a time or a drawer at a time or something like that to declutter and really figure out, you know, if you really need, you know, what's there. And that kind of stuff. And I know that we all go through it, that when we declutter so much that we've just gotten rid of something, and then the next day, of course, you're going, oh my gosh, I need whatever it was that
I got rid of.
That
yep.
I got rid of. But the thing is that, you know, what you could do is, if you declutter and you put it someplace and you just hold it there for a month and think about it, or a week or a day, depending on what your time frame is of what you can do it, then you'll be able to figure out if it's something that you really do need or don't need. But, you know, decluttering and getting rid of, you know, coupons that expired like a year ago would probably not be a bad thing to do. So the next thing is it's to use a clear tote for storing things in it so that you can find them. And that's a really good thing to do, too, so that you can see. But I always think it's also important to mark on them somehow. If you buy labels from an office supply place or something like that, and you can put a label on it so you know what it is, so where it's going to end up is going to be in the right place, then that's a good thing to do. And then this is the one that we kind of already talked about, where it says share the load by hiring a moving company or buying pizza and having your friends come over, one of the two. So that's another big thing that's going to help you move, that's going to make it a lot less stressful. Because, you know, you look at it and you go, oh, I only have this amount of stuff, it's not going to be that bad. It always ends up being
worse
than what you think it's going
to
be.
I mean, when we moved from our house, I swear to goodness, I was like, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. And I mean, it took me like 2 weeks, and I'm moving to a smaller house. I mean, Goodwill was my friend, but I mean, the label was the big thing. I mean, I marked on all the boxes, like on every side of the box, on top of the box. And what really helped was, you know, I would mark like bedroom 2, or I would mark bedroom 3 or whatever it was. And then I would put like a sticky note on that bedroom. So then when the people were helping us, they could just go and unload it in that bedroom, or that bedroom here, or kitchen, mm-hmm. you know, and that really helped. So totally recommend doing the sticky note thing.
Yep. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. So one of the things that people might be thinking, wow, it took you 2 weeks to move, like you were moving. Well, they don't realize that you moved like three houses down.
Yep.
So,
and I had to do it after, let me see, 6 o'clock at night. So from like 6 to 8 was my window of opportunity.
So when you think it took her a few weeks to move or a couple weeks to move, it's like it makes more sense, because if you're going to hire a truck, you're not going to hire a truck every day.
Correct.
To come and do that. But, you know, if you're just moving a couple of houses away, and even though it's just a couple of houses away, you think, oh, it's no big deal. But yeah, it always ends up being a bigger deal than you thought, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was definitely worse. So next time I'm doing a 1 day move and that's it.
And we talked about using labels and that kind of stuff, but this goes a step further and says use different color labels for each room.
Yeah.
And so then that's another way where they can't goof up.
Correct. Well, I know one of the stores that I bought the tape from, they had like different tapes mm-hmm. that you could put on the box that said like bedroom 2, or it had bedroom 3, or it was like orange, blue, yellow, pink.
Right.
So that way, you know, it could help. So you could organize, put all the pinks in one room, the blues in one room. I mean, they just have a lot of things just to make it an easier move for you. Because like I said, if you're just loading every box up and then you just start unloading, I mean, you could have all the garage stuff in your master room, and who wants that? Because you're unloading stuff and you never know what could be in there, you know, and it's just better to label.
Exactly. Exactly. And then it says the next one is to keep essential items with you. And that's really important too. So it's like if you need medication or you need some kind of, you know, whatever it is, maybe a couple of days worth of clothes that you know exactly where they're at for everybody, so that when you get everything moved in, it's like you don't have to go digging through things to find those essential things. So if you planned like you were going on vacation like for a week or whatever, and you had enough stuff to get through that week for everybody, then you would probably be okay, and you could take your time unpacking and do it methodically and all that kind of stuff. And I know there's people out there that don't want to do it methodically. They just want to go ahead and get it done and let the chips fall where they fall and all that kind of good stuff. But to take some stress out for those people that like it methodical, that's a good way to do it.
There you go.
So it doesn't have to be a high stress event. With a little planning, you can make sure that your stay in your new place is not filled with anxiousness and difficulties some moves can bring. And so it just comes down to basically planning is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's people out there that like to plan, and then there's obviously the people out there that don't like to plan. But when you hire a professional movers, that's what they do. They plan it all out and they label just like we talked about, and they have everything going in one space. And and using the packing stuff makes a big difference, because when you pack them correctly, you don't have to worry about things breaking. And you know, it's like I like that stretch plastic that you can put around stuff with the bubble wrap and all that good stuff that's out there that makes it easy to move, and that kind of stuff, or easier if you're doing your own moves. But, you know, hiring people to do it is definitely a good thing to do, too. And there's tons of good companies out there that actually will move you very reasonable. I mean, you know, just getting a quote, you know, you'll be amazed at how inexpensive it can be. And when you do that and you get that, you're just thinking, oh my gosh, you know, if I'd have known that I could have hired somebody for that little amount of money, it would have been so worth it, and avoid all the stress. And they take responsibility to make sure nothing got broken.
Yeah. And plus they bring the big stuff, which I mean, is going to save your back tremendously. Right. And usually they're really good. I mean, they're like, what's that game? Tetris. Put all the boxes where they need to go.
That's exactly right. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or will buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So I ran into this article here that was talking about common home buying mistakes that people make at every age. And I found it very interesting in some respects. And some things I agree with that it says and some things I don't, of course, because, you know, it's just the way that it is. But there's a lot of good points here to know about. And so when it talks about people in their 20s that, you know, that they get the wrong type of mortgage. So, so basically, you know, they don't always have as much money saved as older home buyers. So paying less for a mortgage is not just a priority, but a necessity. So there's different types of mortgages that they can get in. This article is talking about that they don't want to get into an adjustable rate mortgage. And I agree with that, that's not the right thing to get into when you're a first time buyer. Because you don't know how it's going to work. And sometimes that rate can go up and it goes up and then your payment goes up. And that's just not a good thing to do. But there are several programs out there that work really well for first-time buyers. One of them is an FHA loan, which is a Federal Housing Administration loan. And what that loan does is that actually allows people to put 3.5% down. Mm-hmm. It has a maximum amount that it'll loan for each county. And so it's a little bit higher than what the median home is. So you're not going to get a luxury home with an FHA loan, but you're going to be able to afford a home and just put a little bit money down on it. Obviously, there's a VA loan that's also available, and that's available to veterans. And that's something that you can actually buy a home that you don't have any money down. And it's a great place to, you know, be if you are a veteran and you're rewarded for that. And we definitely, you know, want to make sure that you take care of that if you're a veteran, that that's a great program that you're eligible for. Another one that's out there, and this one you have to be in a more rural area, and there's very few places in Orange County that qualify. But in all the other surrounding counties, there are properties that qualify for that. And that's a USDA loan, which is the United States Department of Agriculture. And that's 100% down loan, too. So it's like sometimes, you know, you can get into a house for a lesser amount of money because of that loan. So that's another good one. And then there's a regular traditional mortgage, a conventional mortgage that's in the Home Ready program that's a 3% down mortgage. So there's a lot of options out there for a first-time buyer that you don't have to get into an adjustable rate or anything like that. And it keeps it really good for you. So there are a lot of options out there for the first-time home buyer that you may be in your 20s and you want to buy your first property. And so, but you want to make sure that you don't get caught in the, I'm going to buy this house today and then next month, you know, or next year or whatever, when it starts to go up, you think you're going to be making more money and then you may or may not be. But and as a result of that, you know, your house payment goes up and you don't have any choice in it. You know, if you're renting and your house payment and your payment goes up, you can always move somewhere else. But when you're in a house, it doesn't make it quite as easy to go ahead and do that. So you want to make sure that you can do that. You're doing the right thing when it comes to that. So my word of advice when it comes to buying your first house is that you definitely buy one that you've got a fixed rate the whole time that you're going to buy the house. The taxes and insurance are going to vary a little bit, but you know what the payment for the most part is going to be doing on that. When people are buying a house in their 30s, what they are not always doing is they're not thinking about the future.
That's true.
And so they don't think about what their future family needs are going to be when they're standing in the middle of a downtown condo with great views and access to the rooftop pool. And, you know, so they don't know, you know, what they're going to need in the future. So then you have to sell and maybe not at the right time or anything like that. So you want to make sure is where are you going to be in 5 years from now, or, you know, what would you, where do you want to live at that point in time and that kind of stuff. And I think those high rise condos are awesome. I mean, I lived in one for years.
I think it's cool.
And I loved it, and I would go back to it and stuff again, but I like my house. I mean, I lived there for a long time, and I was like tired of the elevators and all that kind of good stuff, you know, after a long period of time. But it's something that you can, you know, that you can decide if that's what you want to do at any point in your life. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So then when you're getting in your 40s and 50s, you're overestimating your budget. So you tend to have more money, which can lead to overestimating your budget and not buying the, and buying a house that you can't afford. So basically, you have to figure out what your lifestyle is and what your comfort level and that kind of thing. And just because you can afford a $500,000 house doesn't mean you should buy one. If you're, this gentleman says, if you're married and both of you and your spouse are working, figure out whether or not you can afford the mortgage payment if one of you gets laid off. And when you're getting to that age, a lot of times, you know, you're getting closer to having kids starting college and that kind of thing, too. Yep. And so that's something that you want to look at and that kind of thing as well. So we're I'm always for, you know, there's a lot of times when we're working with people and they're like, well, I qualify for this amount, but I only want to pay that amount.
Correct.
And that's what I think is, you know, only you can decide what you want to pay, but and it's not about being doom and gloom either. I think that you have to look at your lifestyle and how you want to be it, and, you know, as a family unit, decide, you know, what you want to do and where you want to go and all that kind of good stuff. So that's a good thing to do as well. And then it talks about when you're 60s and up, it says that you fall in love with that vacation home. And, you know, that doesn't happen in here as much as it kind of claims in this article, because what they're saying in this article is that people, you know, like would come here and they go, oh, this is great. And they buy a house and then they're not happy. And then they move back and all that kind of good stuff. And what I find is that most people are more a little bit more conservative than that. I mean, at least the people that we talk to, that they want to look at it and see, and and they want to see if it can be used as an investment if they're not going to be here. And generally when people have kids or grandkids or something like that, they want to be close to them.
Yep.
They want to go to those school programs and all of those kinds of things. They definitely want to do all that stuff. They want to go to the sporting events that the kids have or the grandkids or whatever. And so when that happens, I mean, that trumps weather every time of where people want to live. And so that's kind of what happens. And sometimes they do have the second homes, though, where they are the snowbirds and they come down here and they're here like for 4 or 5 months out of the year and can afford to do that and then go somewhere else and that kind of stuff, wherever they're from, to be around the rest of the time. And usually, you know, that's just like they went on vacation for that period of time and it's their least expensive way of doing it.
Yeah, correct.
Is by actually having another house down here. So there's those kinds of things that you can do, but I don't find that a lot of people, you know, come in and get enamored so much that they buy a house here and there and then have the regrets afterwards. Or maybe we school them and go through the whole process of what it is. And so they understand and they know the market before they buy, and they're not just, you know, buying it out of impulse. It's not a house is not an impulse buy.
No way.
So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Plumet, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how this works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. Okay, so talking, you know, it's like one of the things that's really important in real estate is what we do. And one of the things that I think that we do a really good job is in negotiations. And the thing is that what basically, as a realtor, we are people's advocate when it comes to negotiations. And not that in your own profession or anything that you do, you're not a good negotiator, because I'm sure that many of the people that we work with definitely are, and we value their opinion, you know, with what they've got to say in regards to how to structure deals and all that kind of good stuff too. However, when it comes to, if you're an investor, you're more businesslike and that kind of thing when it comes to negotiating your deal. But if you are buying your own personal house, as much as you try, it is generally an emotional decision. And so you're emotionally tied to it. And as a result of that, you know, things can get squirrely. And so you probably know, if you're a good negotiator anywhere else, that putting emotion in with it is not a good thing. And so that's one of the things that I think is critical when it comes to actually negotiating. And that's why it's great to have somebody that can help you do that. Because even if, like I said, you're great in your business life at negotiating, when it comes to your own personal residence, many times you're not. And one of the first ways that I see that is that when you're selling your home and somebody brings you an offer and you just think it's too low. And the bottom line is that you say, well, I'm not going to respond to that. And personally, I don't understand that. And if it's somebody that we're working with, I'm going to talk to you very hard and fast about that.
Yeah.
That it's like they always say, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And you've got that bird in the hand that somebody's actually made you an offer. Now, maybe you're too far apart that you're not going to get there. But you'll be surprised at how many times that you think you're too far apart and you do get there.
Correct. Exactly.
And so no offer is too low of an offer, in my opinion, to go with.
It's always a starting point. I mean, you got to look at sometimes from the buyer's point of view. They're wanting to kind of just test the waters and see where it's at. I mean, for all you know, they probably might come up to that asking price, but they just kind of want to start somewhere. But now you haven't even negotiated with them. So they're just like, all right, well, they don't even... You know, maybe they don't think they want to work with us, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, some people take it as an insult, and that I don't understand, because it's like you have to look at it as it's business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the amount of money that they're willing to pay for it. And we're looking for a meeting of the minds where everybody can agree. But the thing is that we're never going to get there if we don't talk.
Exactly.
If you don't talk, we're never going to get there in the first place.
Nope.
So that's why you have to make some kind of an effort, I think, to negotiate. I mean, I've had offers that have come back at asking price, you know, that's what they counter with, and that's fine. At least you countered. But I've had other people that say, well, we're not even going to respond. And I'm like, why would you not respond? I mean, it is an offer. And yes, of course, you'd like it to be higher, but it can be higher. And that's all part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to consider that, and you have to look at that. And you have to look at it that it's a dialogue, not a conflict.
Exactly.
And it's not like these people are trying to insult you if they give you a low offer. They're just trying to, like you said, test the waters and see what they could do. Because if they didn't put that low offer in and you accepted their first offer, they might think, oh, my gosh, I should have gone lower. And that's what buyers do say. You know, it's like sometimes when you accept that first offer, you're like happy as a clam and you don't want to lose them. So you're like, hey, I'll take that first offer. And sometimes, you know, the buyer's not going to move, but sometimes they will.
Yeah.
And it's like I've had a couple of cases lately where I was working with a buyer and they put in an offer that was a little bit lower than the asking price. And the seller came back and said, we'll take it. And they were just like, really? They're like, great. You know, they said, I was ready to come up a little bit more. But at the same time,
you never know.
And at the same time, you know, it's like then they thought, well, maybe I should have gone a little bit lower. And, you know, but then I've also had times where people have accepted that first offer that people made. And as a result of that, the people have said, that's great because I wasn't going to go any higher. You know, so it's like you don't know what you're dealing with. It's all part of the process. And that's what you have to look at it as part of the process.
Exactly.
As opposed to anything else.
Correct.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 1025, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We're your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pumay, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555.
I always tell people, too, like, don't think of it like a Craigslist ad or like an OfferUp ad where you post something for, let's say, $200 and then they send you a message, hey, I'll pay you $40 for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't get like, you know, sentimental over that. So it's a negotiation, you know, so just keep it going and keep your mind open.
Yeah. And you do have to remember, like I said, it's not a fight. It's actually a dialogue. It's not a conflict.
Exactly.
And it's like they're just it's like just saying, hey, what about, you know, hey, do we want to go jump off a cliff today? You know, and it's like, you're like, no, I don't want to jump off a cliff today. But at the same time, you know, I mean, it's just a conversation that you're having with somebody that negotiation is. And so you have to remember that and not get emotional about it as much as possible. And you have to start with a positive that's saying, okay, you know, we've got an offer. That's a great thing. And so where can we go with this offer?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And it's like, and I was meeting with a seller earlier this week. And one of the things that we were talking about is that, you know, he had this one offer that he accepted and he knew what he was going to end up with in his pocket. And then, you know, he got another offer. Well, that deal fell apart is what happened because of some extenuating circumstances that are too long to go into here. But as a result of that, you know, he got another offer right away and it was a different number on the top line, but the bottom line number was the same number. And at first he said, well, I can't take that offer. And I'm like going, but if you really look at it, it is the same offer of what you've already accepted.
Yep.
So once he understood that, he was like, okay, that makes sense to me now and I can do it. So just looking, that's a big thing to look at too, is that top line number is not necessarily what you want to hang on to or think of what it all is and everything. It's really that net number that's going to end up in your pocket. And for a buyer, it's that net number of what's going to end out of your pocket, you know, and a lot of times if you're a first time buyer or something, it's going to end up being that number that's going to end up out of your pocket on a monthly basis. And so you have to really look at, you know, what that is. The next thing that you really have to look at is, you know, asking people, you know, finding out what you really want, is because, you know, sometimes it's the littlest things that people turn down an offer for. Maybe it's the move-in date.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
everything's negotiable.
Everything's negotiable. Maybe it's a fixture that's on the wall that, or a light fixture that you didn't take down that you want to take with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's little things that throw off the whole big deal. So, you know, it's like you're buying a $300,000 house, say, and they want to take a light fixture that you can replace for $100, or maybe it's $200. And you're going to walk away from the deal because
with
of that $200 light fixture.
Let's make it work.
And they might give you $200, but it's just that you don't want to do it. So it's like really looking at, you know, what do you want to do in order to make the whole thing work? And that's what's really important, you know, in it. And, you know, you're always negotiating during the negotiation. So if it's the move-in date or whatever it is, it's the little things that make a difference when it comes to that. And don't be afraid to speak up and let people know what it is.
Exactly.
But basically, the bottom line is that it's all about figuring out what's going to work for you and all of that kind of thing, whether you're the buyer or the seller. And it's all about not getting your feathers ruffled. And so it's always good to have a middleman.
Yep.
Because they don't have to let everybody know that your feathers were
ruffled, right?
So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Have a good one, and thank you for your service.